We have hand. Do we have the handouts? Good. Okay, we're looking back in Proverbs. I do encourage you, this Sunday we will mention a little bit about the building. I know many of you ask about it and so forth, and we've mentioned it not a lot. We've not spent a lot of time on it because really since December of, it's not 15, is it 15? Yeah, no. It's when we had that meeting out there with everyone. Yeah. December of 15, they really stopped us from advancing and building. There was things they made us do to get it to a certain code level and a process the government told us would take. I was there. I talked to the head inspector, the city planner, all those guys. I said, it should take 4 or 5 months. And you know the government is. It took 2 years. So we just got through that. And so that's where we've been. Now, the things we've had to do, we've had to do. It is what it is. So we're at a point, and we'll just give you an update and where we need to go with that. And so pray about that. And we're really going to need you to pray when we get going. I'm excited about it. I walked into Albert's office, and he has a little board with some of the stuff for the building. I'm like, man, when we get in the building, we're burning that thing. We're getting that out of here. And, you know, it's just the city's ridiculous. And by the way, our state's ridiculous. They make everything hard. I just heard. Now, this is how they think. They're trying to pass a law now. The top Democrat leader of the legislature thought this was a wonderful idea, that if you go to a food establishment and they give you a straw, or they ask you if you want a straw, they'll be fined $1,000 and be subject to 6 months in jail. Isn't that special? Because plastic, we all know, is killing people. Plastic straws are dangerous. But that's how our state thinks, and that's the mindset of the people we deal with in the planning commission, and they're really concerned about things they ought not to be concerned about. But God's going to get us through. Okay, now let's get to the positive stuff. Proverbs 4:7. Of course, that's the key verse in Proverbs. We picked up where we left off in Proverbs last week. We're back in it after a six-month layoff. And wisdom is the principal thing, primary, first, foremost. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We mentioned that wisdom is the ability to apply truth to life. It's not your IQ, okay? By the way, it's a sad thing when we equate education with wisdom. Okay, now I'm not for being stupid. I'm not for not learning. But can I just tell you something? Education is no better than what you're learning. And if you're in a government, I wanted to say some type of thing where they're just feeding you garbage, you might get a degree and the world might applaud, but if you're learning nonsense, that doesn't mean you're wise. Wisdom is understanding what the Word of God says and the ability to make that a part of our lives. And that's very important. Over the course, we're in lesson 54. It's been over I think this is the fourth year we've done portions of Proverbs off and on. We've not done it completely. We've done certain subjects. Well, today we're just going through this lesson, arbitrary verses or random verses that maybe don't, a subject that's not a long subject, and I'm just calling it good advice. Proverbs just tells us some things. It's like, that's smart. Well, of course it's smart. God came up with it, amen? And it's actually not smart, it's wise. So we started last week with number one. We reviewed Proverbs, and then we started here. Number one, when we feel pressured or that we are being persuaded to do wrong, automatically reject it. Automatically reject it. Be like Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat or whatever they were going to give him. And he made that decision ahead of time so that when the pressure came for them to do that, immediately his answer was no, let's find a better solution here. And he found a better solution. So we looked at all of that. Here's some new thoughts before we move on from number one, we not understand. We talked about the different pressures and things that come and how we should react. But notice in the verses that follow verse 10, the invitation that a sinner will give. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 11 to 15. If they say, the sinners that are enticing thee, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit, We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. What is the sinner's invitation? There's two steps to it. First of all, they mention, come with us. Hang with us. That's called influence. We're going to be pressured and give in to what they're trying to get us to do if we're going with them, if we're hanging with them, if we're allowing them to influence us. We have to be very careful that we reject when somebody, we reject spending time or being with those who are, the Bible would consider, you know, a nice way to put it would be unwise, but if they are antagonistic towards God or they reject God's precepts, that's the biblical definition of a fool. And we're not supposed to go with them. Well, you know, I just don't want to be seen as different. I'm just kind of hanging with these people. Listen, if they're rejecting God and they have a wrong lifestyle, you should not be with them. They will influence you. We looked at the angry man earlier on, and it says that we're not supposed to be with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways. What, we're going to sit there and ask him to teach us how to be angry? No. You get it just by being around them and that influence. And so it always starts with come with us. Let's be influenced. You cannot help but be like those whom you allow yourself to spend time with. By the way, there's a positive side to that too. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So the principle goes both ways. Okay? We're going to be influenced and become like those who we allow ourselves to spend a multitude of time with. And by the way, don't legitimize it or excuse it by saying, well, that's a relative. Listen, when I was a teenager, one of my uncles was about 10 or 11 years older than me, give me a ride to work and for a while live with us. Listen, I hung around with him for a while. Not that, but and the stuff that he got me involved with, but that's your uncle. Listen, my mom might have thought that, but if my mom knew, she would have said, you don't go near your uncle. Okay? He was not a good influence. And so be very, very careful. Well, you know, that's their cousin's house. Listen, if a cousin doesn't love God, be careful. And just because, and I'll say this, and I'm not, and again, I don't think we ought to alienate our family. I don't think we ought to be mean to our family. But listen, they're not going to hang it. They're not staying the night at their cousin's house if their cousins are not solid Christians that love God. And I'm not going to say, hey, can they come spend the night? No, because you're a pagan. I'm not going to say that. Say, no, whatever's fine. No. I'll be nice, you know. But anyhow, that's influence. Next, cast in thy lot among us. Cast in among us. Cast in thy lot among us. That's imitation. Let us all have one purse. Now we're part of the group. We're just like them. Just like them. We had a girl many years ago in our church in the very early, first 4 or 5 years. Good girl, loved God, was doing well. Decided she wanted to go to Long Beach City College. Started going to college there, came back. I told her she met a guy. Here was her comment to me. You know, well, he's nicer than the Christian guys at the church. First of all, no, he's not. You're catching him at his best. He's hiding it. And number two, at least with the guys at church, you know exactly what they're like. And ran off, got off with the guy, got married, left church, and my wife keeps in contact with him, and their marriage is a disaster. One time calling and winding my life about him, it's like, you should have asked that before you married him. But see, when you hang around him, all of a sudden you're part of that now. And you lose that spiritual eye. And you allow yourself to imitate. You're one of them. What is God's answer to the whole thing? My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Stay away from them. Now, I'm not trying to seem overly harsh, but let me say this. If I have a friend, even if they were a friend that was in the church, and in their lifestyle or in some way, they are declaring to me that they're going to live a life that is godless, I'm done. I love them. I'm here to help them. They're still my friend, but I'm not going to spend time with them, and I'm not going to accept sin. By the way, you say, that is mean-spirited. Think about this for a minute. It is unloving to help them to, and I'm not saying we condone them or whatever, you get jump on. It's unloving for us, if we're their friend, not to say, you know what, that's wrong. That's unloving. We had a girl many years ago. She was doing well in the thing, and this is really in the early days of the church, and next thing you know, her parents call me. She's gone. She ran off with some guy. Now, I was a youth director at the time, so I pulled her friend in, took her out of class, brought her down to the office. I said, listen to me. I said, did you know she was going to do this? She said, yeah, she told me she was going to do it. I said, you know that's not right, what she did, right? She goes, yeah. I said, did you tell her that? Well, no, she's my friend. I'm like, why didn't you tell us? I didn't want to be a narc or whatever they called it back then. I have no idea what the narc, okay? That's a 70s term. That's groovy, man. I don't want to be a snitch. That was very unloving. And that whole thing did not turn out well. Listen, if I'm your friend and you're coming to me and I'm going to get involved in this garbage or this is what's going on, if I'm your friend, I'm going to lovingly tell you, that's not right. God's not for that. Let's get back on the right track. Okay, but I don't want to be seen as, then you're not really the right kind of friend. You're not. And if someone is going to accept some godless lifestyle, it's like, no, that's not how I'm going to be. It's like, I'll love you, but I'll be at church. Oh, what, you Christians are unloving. Why don't you hang around with me? Because the Bible tells me I'm not supposed to. And I believe the Bible, and I know that life's, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, you're not helping them, and in fact, you're hurting yourself. And what happens when they go out there, and some do, and they get involved in some, and then it's like, you know, I want to go back to God. There better be someone here waiting for them. We have people come back that used to come to our church for a while. Maybe as a teenager, they got away. They come back. It's like, I'm glad you guys are still here. That's comforting. It's like, I wish they would have never left, but at least they know they're somewhere when they want to get right. But we're not being very helpful, people. And by the way, we're buying into society. This is just how I am. You have to accept it. No, I don't. Now, I'm loving you, but I'm not going to hang around with you. And I didn't know. I wasn't tactful. I didn't understand. But when I was 17 and I got right with God, I just quit going out and hanging with my friends. Now, I probably should have told them. I didn't. One Friday night, they came by my house. And they're like, where have you been? And I'm like, I'm going to church now. And the one guy goes, what are you doing tonight? What were you doing? And I'm like, and I didn't do this all the 24/7, but just so happens, I was in my back bedroom studying my Bible. He goes, what were you doing tonight? I'm like, you really want to know? I was looking at the Bible. They're like, we got to go. I'm like, okay. Now, I invited some of them to church. Some came to church and got saved. Okay, I didn't hate them. Don't get me wrong. I just knew that, man, if I go with them, I know what I'm going to do, and I don't want to do that. But let's be, if we're really going to be a good friend, let's lovingly tell them the truth. Lovingly say, if that's what you're going to do, I'm not going to be a part of it, but I'm here if you want to come back. Amen. Okay? This little thing like, well, you're my friend. I just accept you. I love you just as you are. I'm not saying we quit loving them, but that's not loving. Oh, I feel better. The Bible concept for becoming, I think you might have this in your notes, for becoming snared in that which is wrong, and we don't like this, it's called separation. I don't like that. Okay. Let me say this. It's a necessary part of walking in wisdom. Necessary. Brother Joseph preached the other night, standards. Excellent. See, what happens is you read the Bible, you learn principles from the Bible. Based on the principles you learn from the Bible, you start to form convictions. convictions are, this is what the principle of the Bible taught me, and because it's in the Bible, I believe it 100%. Then when you have your conviction, you develop a standard. A standard is, here's my code of conduct that's going to help me to keep my conviction based on the biblical principle. And when you put that standard into practice, there's going to be separation. The standard is going to separate me. It may separate me from a sin, but it's going to separate me from something. We don't like separation because it's thought of as a dirty word, and we think of it like we're isolated. We're not isolated. We're out trying to reach people all the time. We're out trying to help people all the time. Anybody, everybody, anywhere, everywhere. But it's not a dirty word. Because we don't want to separate, there's something inside of us, we just want to blend in. Don't we? By the way, don't blend in. If you're in our school, don't blend in. Stand out. I wouldn't be real popular in Christian school. I wouldn't. First time I heard of something goofy going on, it's like, that's going to stop or I'm going in. That you wouldn't be very popular. Chalk me up. I wasn't in the youth group because I dropped out of high school early. They didn't want me to be in there. I didn't want to be in there. So they kicked me out. So I wasn't in the youth group, and I was too young to be in the college and career, so I had nowhere to be in the church. But I did go with a friend of mine, and he was kind of with the youth group, and I'm in there, and here are these church kids, and one day they're talking about what they're going to go do and whatever, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. I just came out of that. You do not want to go there. They're like, who are you? Like, someone that lived what you're trying to do. It's not working. I probably was a little bit more mean-spirited back then. I had not learned tact, okay? But I wasn't going to be silent, okay? And I wasn't going to hang around that nonsense either. I went out with some guys in the church. Kind of a mixture of the younger guys that were, you know, the 20s or whatever. We went out one night, and we didn't do anything bad, Brother Montgomery, and you probably knew some of the guys from that church. But I just did not feel like what was, it just, I had a bad feeling in my spirit about it. It wasn't bad, but I'm like, I don't feel like this is godly. So I just kind of purposely stayed away from them. You know, all those guys, none of them stayed in church. And I just want to be very careful. And if we have a conviction and a standard, that means anything that's not of that conviction or standard, we need to kind of be careful. Okay? It's for our sake. By the way, you say, well, what is that? Okay, well, let's look at some verses. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, that counsel's ungodly. I'm nowhere near it. I'm out. And let me say this, and some of you go to the public colleges. I personally would never do it. I'm not getting on you if you do. I'm just telling you, you better walk on water, and you better be super Christian. Be very, very careful. I'm telling you, just be very careful. Go there, do your classes, get out. And you need to tune out look, if you're in a math, and I know, I used to do the singles group, and I had them that went to Cal State, and some of the things they told me, there's a reason I shaved my head, because I don't have a lot of hair. And it makes it easier to take care of it anyhow. But there's some of the things they told me is like, you've got to be kidding me. One of them was in a math class or something. And she said the teacher just got back from Thailand and passed around pictures of naked ladies he was with in Thailand. And I'm like, how can he get away with that? They were wearing necklaces, so the school considered it art. It had nothing to do with his class. Nothing. One girl came back and said, they had an art show and they had pictures of bestiality on the wall. That has nothing to do with education. And by the way, that was in the 90s. Now, I'm positive it's gotten better. I'm just saying, let's be careful. Look, your teacher gets up and it starts to spit some nonsense, just say, okay, enough of that. I'll wait till you get back to math. Okay? Walketh not in the counsel, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, because what happens? If we allow ourselves to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, we're going to become like the ungodly. If we stand in the way of sinners, we're going to become like the sinners. And by the way, we all are sinners, but you know what I'm saying. If we sit in the seat of the scornful, we're going to be like the scornful. Well, I'm not with the sinners and I'm not with the ungodly, but you're with somebody who's critical. You're going to be critical. Whatever happened to hearing both sides of the story? Can I get a witness? Well, you know, I went to that Christian school and blah, 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 and they gave me a hard time. Maybe it's because you were walking contrary to the rules. My kids all went to the Christian school. They seem to be doing okay. And by the way, they say, did they ever get in trouble? Yep. And they deserved it. And they know, don't you come home and whine to me, because now you told me you got demerits and now it's on. Okay? I'm sorry. But maybe it's like, look, you know, cats walking, you know, you rub the cat the wrong way, they kind of get all, well, walk the right way. Quit babying our kids. And I was going to be so happy tonight. Well, that person just doesn't like me in the church. Have you talked to the person? There is two sides to every story, cowboy. So let's not listen to the scornful. Okay. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren. Okay. Now, I didn't say this. I would not say this. Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That's not me. And it's not even the Apostle Paul. God wrote that. Okay, and I'm not, again, I'm being a little, you know, because I got passionate about this, but I'm not saying let's be mean-spirited. Listen, I hold out hope for everybody. Okay, anybody that comes in here, I'm going to be there, and I'm like, you're going to make it someday. Some of them don't. But there's a difference between me trying to lead them in the way of righteousness and encourage them to get on board and go for it and hanging around them. But I'll say this right now with no grace whatsoever. If somebody believes things contrary to our church, get out of here. Go to their church up there. Don't spread that garbage here. And it'd be nice if they come to you, because they ain't coming to me if you tell them to shut up and leave. I feel better. I have no problem if you don't believe like we believe. If it's a small doctrine and you're keeping it to yourself, I'm okay with it. The second you open your mouth and you try to peddle that to somebody else, it's on. Now again, if you've been in this church, if you know me at all, I want everybody to stay here. I'm serious. When someone visits, I want them to stay. But maybe it's because I've been the pastor for a few years now, and maybe it's just I'm a little older and a little more cratchety. If you're going to cause trouble, leave. And by the way, we will part on good terms. I'm telling you. If you know, I've heard that you've been, that's a lie. It's like, listen, if you don't believe like we believe, go find a place where you, why would you stay here? I wouldn't. If I didn't believe like this church believes, I would quietly find a place that believed like I believe and go there and not try to call them and get them to come to my new church. And spread some stupid doctrine because some idiot nutcase on the internet said it. The internet makes heroes out of idiots. And it's going to ruin you. You say, you have a pretty bad disposition. I typically don't get like this. Dinner was really bad. I'll tell you why I'm passionate about it. Because we're hurting good people. Okay? You might want to, they show some obscure verse in the Bible ripped out of context, and you don't have the common sense to check it out. And this can be for somebody that's ultra or somebody that's liberal, because it goes both ways. You listen to that smooth-talking guy on the internet who doesn't even push salvation in his church. You might want to check these things out. Sometimes people send quotes, and it's like, that guy's a Presbyterian. They don't even believe in salvation by faith, but we're going to retweet a quote by him? Not my universe, cowboy. I don't even know where we were at. Oh, mark them, okay? Listen now, verse 18. And for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by great works, and by fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Who gets sucked in? Simple. And the reason it irritates me, it's like, just go where you want to be. This isn't Calvary Chapel, and it never will be. We're never listening to that garbage. That's not who we are, and we never will be. If that's who you want to be, go. Keep it to yourself. I'm tired of good young people getting sucked into that thing because it looks cool, and some guy doesn't know what size pants he wears, and he's 45 years old and he wants to act like he's a 20-year-old. Snap out of it. Now, I don't like growing old, and I'm not old. My granddaughter the other day said, how old are you? I said, how old do you think I am? And she said a number pretty close. It was younger, and I'm like, you get money. And I thought, now let me ask you a question. Who's older, me or your other grandpa? And she thought about it for a while. And she said, Grandpa Hecto. I'm like, he absolutely is. I said, by the way, who looks older, Grandma Marianne or Grandma Alma? She said, Grandma Marianne. I said, I'll let Grandma Alma know. Okay? But listen, I'm okay with who I am. I don't want to be 20 anymore. Okay? I wish I felt like I was 20, but I don't want to be 20 anymore. But we're getting caught up in this stuff. Be very careful. Be very careful. And you leave. The reason I want you to leave is because we got too many people we want to reach. I don't have time to watch what is being said on the internet by some goofball. When there are new people that need to be one to the Lord and discipled. Listen, go where you want to go and have at it, cowboy, and don't shoot back at us and don't lie about us. But I could care less. Leave us alone. I'm not getting into it. I'm just concerned when you, behind our back, are listening to that garbage. Okay? And new people are getting caught up in it. It destroys their faith. Now, you can take it to others. What about those that just aren't living right? But let's move on, because we're going to lose some time here. We do, don't we? 5 minutes. Okay, we're going to get through point one eventually. I'm pretty sure before this year's over. We are to, and I don't usually go like this, but the verses told me to. We are to separate from sinful actions and individuals. Look. Many years ago, we had someone in the singles group, and I was talking to them. They're like, well, you know, this church just believes that. They were kind of contrary. They said, this church just believes this. I said, stop. I said, absolutely, we believe it. If you don't like it, leave. I didn't even listen to what they were going to say. No, but you guys, I said, stop. You're right. It is us. And if you don't believe it, go somewhere else. We're not changing for you. It would help all of us. Now, let's just look at a few more verses here before time is up and I can calm down. Ephesians chapter 5:11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, look, we talked about doctrine because the other verse kind of got into that, so we're okay. But it's also in actions. Okay, it's also in actions. They sneak in, you know, we're under grace. What does that mean? That means we can do whatever we want? You don't understand grace, buddy. You might want to read Romans. You might want to read Titus. You might want to meditate on it just a little bit. Okay? But don't fall for that. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw. You know what withdrawal means? Get out. Leave. Get away from. Every, what's the next word? Not unsaved, but brother, they're saved, that walketh disorderly. And again, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of here thinking, I hate people. And there are some. I don't. I'm telling you, I want, and maybe it's a weakness I have. Every person I come in contact with, I want them to make it. It's like, keep coming to church. We'll work it out of you, and I hope you get there. That's just me. Okay? I'm an eternal optimist. And sometimes it doesn't work. But understand this. Often a sinful Christian is worse for you than an unsaved person. Okay? I preached a message, I don't know, 4 years ago. And it's like, yeah, but they're a Christian and, that was the title. You see, if our boys go play an unsaved basketball team, they're going to say things on the court that aren't, praise God. Amen, you made a shot. Oh, man, I missed. They're going to say other things. Now, I don't want our kids to hear that, but guess what? They know that that's the unsaved, and they're trying to reach them. Our kids on a bus route, listen, well, I don't want my kid on a bus route. They're going to hear foul language. Well, listen, they hear from your in-laws anyhow. Okay. But it's like they understand that they're reaching people for Christ. And by the way, you know, we don't cuss at our house very often. So, but my kids are on the bus route and they come home and say, man, when they were teenagers, I heard a mom call her kid, boop, boop, boop. Now they didn't say it, but I'm okay with that because they know that that's unsaved people and they know they're not being influenced. They know that, by the way, they're seeing what's wrong and they're like, that's not where I want to end up. But boy, when you see you play this Christian team and the guy's like saying, it's like, well, you know, they talk about God. They go to Bible study. And they listen to this, and they do that. That's okay. See, it's easier for us to excuse our sin if we can find another Christian that's doing it. That's what's dangerous. That's where we really need to stay spiritual and say, listen, you know, let's help them. I remember as a new Christian, I thought everybody loved God. And I was with one of the guys. He wasn't a deacon, but he was higher up in the church. We had parking lot duty because people were breaking into the car. And I'm with this guy, and he started saying stuff. I'm like, what? I've only been in church for 6 months, and I know that's not right. But I'm like, you know, okay. Now, I kind of got that. Okay, he's a little older, and I think he was starting to lose his mind. But listen, we can excuse it if we see it in Christians and we allow them to influence us. So let's be very, very careful. And look, I was going to have us turn to, I didn't put the verses, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it says, come ye out from among them and be separate, light with darkness, Christ with Belial, and all those other things. But if you get to the end, he talks about, and I will be, I'm misquoting it, like your God. In other words, what he's saying in the last verse is, you do these things, I'm closer to you. You see, we separate because it's a relationship thing. Do you understand that? And it broke a lot of hearts. When I got married, I know it was like in our college, all the girls were crying. They had like a day off at school. It was bad. Actually, they were all like, how'd that guy get somebody? But it's like, do you understand when I got married, I separated myself willingly from every other girl. Kind of regret it now, but, just kidding. And by the way, I had no problem with it. I figured I got the best of the bunch. I don't need anything else. But I did that because I was focused in on this one relationship. This is all I want. I don't want anybody. I don't want anything else. I don't want this relationship. This is it. That's kind of what it is with Christ when we separate. We're not doing it to, and I was a little bit rough tonight, and please, you know who I am if you know me. I'm not like that personally most of the time. But it's because this relationship is so important, my relationship with God. I don't want anything that can hurt that. I don't want anything to hurt that to get in the way. And I don't want any person to hurt you to get in that way. Okay? It's very important. And so my son, As we said last week sometime, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Be very careful that we're never pressured or duped into doing something that God would not want us to do. Okay? Let's be very, very careful. That's wisdom. Let's pray.